devil has been defeated. Satan's head has been crushed. Satan wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to keep the chains on us. He wants to keep us so that we're in darkness. So that way when we're in darkness, we don't get to see the freedom of Christ. But Christ says, I came into this world to give you freedom, to give you hope, to give you life. But the devil says, I want to steal your life. But I love the power of the cross. The cross says, Satan, you have no authority because the victory has been won. I love what it says in John chapter 8. Jesus is speaking to Jewish believers, people who were of the Jewish faith who eventually started to believe in him as their Lord and their Savior. And he's speaking to them and he says this, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold or you abide, as some scriptures will say, to my teachings, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I think it's important that we see in this that Jesus says there's something that we have to do. We have to hold on to. We have to abide in. It's not simply enough just to say, I believe the Bible. It's not simply enough to say that you believe in the power of the cross, but it's something that it becomes part of who you are, and you breathe, and you sleep, and you live the truth of God. And he says, you got to hold on to it. You got to live in it, because in this world, there are going to be things that are going to try to get underneath your hands and try to deceive you and try to say that my word is not true. There's going to be voices telling you you're still a captive. And he says, when those voices come in, say no. I'm holding to the truth. I'm holding as tight as I can. And Jesus says, when we do that, something happens. Not just confess it. Not just say you believe that the Bible is good and there's great truths in there. But when you start living it out, he says something happens. The truth. It sets you free. I know in our culture, truth is not truth, right? We don't believe in absolutes according to the great thinkers. But they're wrong. There is an absolute truth, and it is the word of God. When we say that Jesus set you free, he says it's a truth. You are not in bondage. There is a way that you can escape the sin. There's a way that you can escape the addictions that you're in. It's through the name of Christ. There's power in his name. And he is the one who breaks the chains on us. It's a truth. It's an absolute. It's the only thing that you can truly rely on in this world. Everything else is just man. Some of you came in here this morning and you probably were carrying some baggage. You might have been carrying some shame with you. And here's what I don't understand in the church. People who believe. We know that verse. The truth will set you free. But we're not walking in freedom. We're coming and we're holding on to things. We're coming with a weight. And we're not walking in that freedom. And some of you walked in here and you have guilt. You just did something on Friday and you know you shouldn't have done it. You confessed it on Saturday, but the guilt is still there. Well, we have to understand what we learned last week is that our guilt and our shame has been nailed to the cross, done away with forever. If you confess it and ask for forgiveness, it's done. But the enemy comes in, he goes, hey, I want you to know something. You're still in captivity. You still are guilty. And Jesus says, no, you've been set free. Some of you came in here with a weight of abuse. And this is one that, you know, somebody might have inflicted on you. Maybe it was a physical, maybe it was verbal. And you've been walking through life and those chains are just heavy. You know you have a Savior. You believe in the power of the cross, but Satan convinces you that you're guilty, you're riddled with shame, that you're unworthy, you did something. But Jesus says, no, you didn't. He says, you're innocent. Let me take it. Let me take the weight. When you bring it to me, I can heal you. I can set you free. Some people will come in here with a lying problem. No matter what you do, lies come out. In fact, you're so convinced that you're telling the truth, you don't even know when you're lying anymore. And it's plaguing you. It's weighing you down. Some of you came in here with some serious anger issues. You're just mad at everything. You're mad at everybody. You don't even know why you're mad, but anger just is just riddling your heart and your soul. And everything that you say and everything that you do, it just comes out anger. The words that you say to your loved ones, the words that you say to your friends, it's just so harsh and so mean. And you don't want it to happen, but you just can't understand it. Jesus says in the cross, bring it to me. Maybe somebody in your life was angry, a parent, and that's what they taught you. And you just carry that on. Jesus says, let me break it. Some of you came here with pride, saying you don't need any help. You got it covered. This Jesus thing, I don't need it. I don't need his power. I don't need his authority in my life because it's okay. Because I can do it on my own. Some of you are carrying murder. You've slashed relationships through your anger. There's been a death in a friendship. There's been a death in a child. The child has drifted away from you and doesn't want anything to do with you. Some of you have those weights. And Jesus says, no, I want you to know something. At the cross, all of them are done away with. When you come to Jesus and you surrender your life and you say, I believe in the power of the cross, he says, these have been nailed to the cross. They don't have any authority in your life. Well, why do we struggle with them? Why am I still angry all the time? Why can't I stop lying? Why can't I stop abusing? Why do I have this guilt? Because you forgot. You forgot you have an enemy. Maybe you didn't notice in the drama. You had Noah, he was in the white. He was Jesus. I forgot the devil's name. I mean, that's a good thing. I forgot his name. Mikey, there you go. Mikey, he was in the black. He was the devil. There's a battle going on for you and me. And there's chains that we're bound to. And you and I just keep holding on to them. And Jesus keeps crying out saying, you've been set free. All these things, they're done. But the devil keeps coming back and going, you're not worthy. You're not worth it. What you did, God wouldn't want anything to do with you. You should be ashamed. You see, this is what it says in 1 Peter about our enemy. First he says, be self-controlled and be alert. In other words, we have a responsibility in this battle. We got to be aware. We got to be alert because he's going to come in when you least expect it. Just when you think you are walking tall and you're overcoming, he's going to come in and try to tear you down and put a chain on you again. So he says to be self-controlled, to be alert. And then in a couple of versions it says, be sober and watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's roaming. He's searching. He's looking to kill and to destroy people. That's his job. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to keep you captive. He wants to keep you in bondage because he doesn't want you to expose that to the light of Christ. If you expose the things that are in the darkness to the light of Christ, there is freedom. But he knows if he can keep it in the darkness, he knows that if he can keep the weight of the chain that's on you, you're never going to experience freedom. Oh yeah, you may have salvation, but you're never going to experience the freedom that Christ has came to give. Because you and I, we were saved to be free. Free from all of these things. And I know some of you came in and you had a weight. And chains are something that bind us. You had a weight on you that was so heavy. And I didn't list them all, but you know what weight. Because as soon as I started talking, you could feel it. And it's just tearing you down everywhere you go. And what do chains do? They bind. They restrict. They keep us in the same spot so we can never experience the freedom. But Christ said, through my death, through my resurrection, you're free. You're completely free. Don't take these anymore. Don't put them on anymore. Because I have set you free so you can experience the life that I have in store for you, which is a life of freedom. A life that's filled with hope and life. Not darkness. One that's filled with light. One that's filled with love. Not shame. Not guilt. The devil, he's going to condemn. He's going to condemn you and say, you're no good. You're good for nothing. Jesus keeps saying, you're worthy. You're loved. You're precious. You're perfect in my sight. There's a battle going on. In John chapter 8, verse 34, it tells us this a little bit later. Jesus is talking. And he's telling these same believers, he says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So he says, I just want you to know, everybody who sins, which we know all of us sin, you're a slave. You're in bondage. And then he says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family. In other words, when sin defines our life, we really haven't entered into the full truth of Christ yet. He says, so there's a truth that sin enslaves us. Sin keeps us from being part of the family of God. But he goes on, he says, but the Son belongs to it forever. And then he goes in verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He's simply saying, so if you come to the cross of Christ and you understand the power of the cross and understand the power of the blood that was shed for you and you understand the resurrection and you understand that Jesus is not dead. He is sitting at the throne right now, right next to his Father, seated up in glory again. He says, you understand that. You believe that. You confess that. You move from being a sinner to a saint, to becoming a child of God. And you have a rightful home in heaven because of this work. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. And he says, and I've set you free. So you're free indeed. You notice how many times Jesus just in these two verses have said, you're free, you're free, you're free. He wants us to understand we're free. But Satan keeps coming along and he keeps condemning you. And he says, no, you're not free. Feel the guilt and the shame of your life. It's not possible that Christ could do that. And Christ is going, I'm the Son of God. I have freed you. I have the power over every authority, over everything that is in the darkness. And I've set you free. And you're indeed free. So you might have came in here this morning just with a heavy weight, not knowing what to do with it. And we just want to talk about it just a little bit because it's important that we understand that we got to do something. We got to come to Christ to be set free. And we have to come into the fullness of it. Because in that verse that Jesus said in verse 36, he said, so if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And I want to read the Message version. So if the Son sets you free, you are free through and through. Did you hear that? You are free through and through. All those things that you came in here thinking that, okay, I'm a Christian, I believe, and I can live my life for Christ. I can come in here and I can believe in the Bible. I can praise and do a worship song. But yet this is part of my life. Lying, cheating, stealing. You can list it. And you've just kind of accepted that. You've accepted that's who you are. And Jesus keeps saying, no, you are free through and through. All those little chains, all those little things, all those little weights, they're done away with. Through and through, everything about you has been cleansed and has been set free. So are you free? Are you really free? Are you experiencing the power of the cross in your life? Or is this more of a definition of your life? Why do I keep saying things that hurt people that love me? Why do I keep destroying relationships? Why do I hate people? Why do I look at other people and think that I'm superior or better than them? That's not freedom, is it? Why can't I overcome this temptation? How come this sin that is defining me, I can't overcome it? I know I can. I know Jesus said that I can, but why can I overcome it? Because you're not free. You've never experienced the power, the complete power of the cross. You have salvation because you accepted, but you never walked into the freedom. You're not abiding in his truths. You're not letting it define who you are. You're letting everything else in this world define you except for Christ. And it's only when we abide in those truths will we be free. Chains are heavy. They bring us down. There's a group of people in the Bible that they were experiencing a time where they were in bondage. This comes out of Matthew chapter 11. These people were in bondage. They had the Roman Empire over them. They were not free people. They had to obey those laws. They belonged to a religious system. And this religious system put more rules on top of you. I mean, just when they think they got it, these religious rabbis would come along and say, nope, you don't got it. You got to do this, and you got to do this. And if you do this, then maybe you might make it. They didn't have rest in their hearts. They didn't have freedom. And Jesus comes in and he says this. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I just love that verse. Jesus says, how do we get free? We got to come to him. He says, I want you to come to me. And when Jesus says this in the original language, it's a passionate plea and it's an emphatic that you come to me. I am the only one that can offer life. I am the only one that can break the chains. I am the only one that can give you rest for your soul. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father except through him. It's only when we come to him shall we experience that kind of rest for our soul that we're craving, we're wanting. We're desiring it in the deepest part of our beings. And Jesus says, come. I know there's been other people who said, I can give you rest. I know in this world it says if you do drugs, you have rest. You don't have to worry about anything. Oh, just take alcohol. Just do a shot. Do a couple beers. You know, everything's going to go away. It's going to be okay. People come and said, hey, if you do this, you jump out of a plane and skydive, it's exhilarating. Oh, this is just going to give you excitement and rest and you're going to feel satisfied. And Jesus says, no. There's nothing but him that will ever satisfy our soul. He says, come. And this come to me, how could Jesus say that? Well, first of all, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. He is the one who has created everything that you and I see, smell, or taste. He is the one that's holding it all together. He is the one that knows your name and knows the hairs on your head. That's how he can say it, because he has the authority to say, I can give you rest. My weight, my yoke, it's not that heavy. I know some of you this morning are probably going, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus thing. I really don't believe it. My prayer for you is that you would see the freedom that Christ offers, the hope that he brings. For the group of you, there's a large group of you that probably believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. It's time that we step out of the darkness and start to walk in the light and allow the freedom of Christ to fill us to the full measure. He says, I want to give you a life and I want to give it abundantly. One that's not shackled, one that's not shadowed with darkness, but one that is completely, utterly free. So first you have to admit something. You have to admit you have a need. So when he says, come to me, that's us admitting that we need him. We admit that we have murder, and we have abuse in our past. We have guilt, we have shame, we have pride. See, you already threw this one away. Lying. You have to admit that those things are there and you have to confess it to him and say, I need help. I want help. I desire help. And that's the second thing to break free is a desire, this longing, this excitement, this passion to say, I know you free people. I know through the work of you dying on the cross that you have freed me. I desire freedom. I desire to walk in truth. And all throughout the Bible, you'll see that there's this desire that has to happen in us. It's not just saying, I believe in the word. I believe this. It's applying it. And it means that you might have to change your life. It means that you might not be able to go out with that boyfriend. You might not be able to have that girlfriend because they keep bringing you down. Maybe you can't hang around with that crowd at the bar anymore. So then the third thing you have to do is you have to ask. You have to ask for this. So there's a time in John chapter 5 where Jesus is talking. And he's talking to a group of people that are sitting around a pool in Bethsaida. And then they kind of believe that if they could get in the pool after the first person jumped in and everything was kind of messed up for the first time, that they could have the possibility of being healed. So all around this pool you have people sitting that are crippled, that are needing some type of healing. And Jesus comes on the scene in verse 5 and he says this. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. So there's a guy there, 38 years. He's crippled. 38 years he's in bondage. 38 years of depending on everybody. 38 years of begging for his food, never knowing if he was going to have enough. And Jesus comes to him and he says, when Jesus saw him lying there in verse 6 and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? What? What do you mean, Jesus? Do I want to get well? See, Jesus says we got to have a desire to get well. We have to have a desire to break free from the chains. I mean, because Jesus is like, do you really know what it means to get well to this guy that's been lame for 30 years? Hey, buddy, you're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to stop depending on people. No more can you beg for your food. You're responsible for earning something. I mean, Jesus is like going, there's going to be change. And there's going to be radical change. If you want freedom, it's going to be radical. That means that you're going to have to unfriend some people because they keep bringing you down. It means that you're going to have to hold your tongue when you know you're going to lie, that you don't do it anymore. You know the truth about who you are, and you say, okay, I want it. And then Jesus delivers this man in verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. His life was changed, completely changed. He has freedom. He could walk for the first time. He had to do something, though. He had to have a desire, but then he had to do something. He was laying on the mat. He had to get up. He could have just laid there and said, I don't want it. I'm not going to be free. I like begging for my food. I like being kept in captivity. You can do the same thing. But Jesus says, I want you to make a step. I want you to have a desire, a passion to want to be free from this. Because this stuff is weighing you down and you can't even see the truth anymore. He says, I want to free you from it. But do you desire it? Do you really desire? Then he says, take a step. There's going to be some change coming in your life as soon as you say that. And we don't like change, do we? We don't like that when all of a sudden that we might have to stop going places where we like to go before because we know that it keeps leading us down the same path. And then the last thing that we need to do, we have to ask for this. And God doesn't just automatically go, boom, here you go, get what you want. It's you got to ask for it. Have a burning desire and you got to come to him. And it amazes me all throughout Scripture, it says you ask for things. Why don't we get with things? Why aren't we freed from lying? Why don't we have the weight of guilt lifted? Because we don't ask for it. Our asker, our mouth, is broken. We're in America. We don't want to ask for anything, do we? I mean, I'm big. I'm strong. I can handle it on my own. I got it covered. And I sure don't want to admit that I got a problem. Jesus says, I want you to ask for it. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. You see, Jesus says, I want you to ask for it. You got to desire it. You got to step forward. He said, if you step forward and the door's closed and you're knocking and you know that you're trying to break free from something and you're knocking, he says, that door's going to be open. He says, if all of a sudden there's you come to a place where it feels like everything's a dead end, you feel like you're just trapped, you can't overcome the thing, he says, you ask for it. You seek after me, you're going to find me. And you're going to find the way out so the chain doesn't have to wrap you. Can I be honest this morning? When I was just married, I struggled with something. It was called lust. At the age of 10, my uncles were farmers. And they were probably about 6 or 7 years older than me. They left pornography up in the hay mound. And I climbed down one day and right there it was. Young boy, I looked at it. Those images never left my mind. It's toxic. It's dangerous. I grew up with my uncles pointing out women, how beautiful they were and how gorgeous they were. I grew up with friends in high school that constantly pointed at girls and said, oh, look how beautiful she is. Wouldn't you like to? And you know it. Grew up in a culture where everywhere I looked are these signs where there's people with no clothes on hardly. And lust was there, and I got married. And I'm like, going, God, I don't want this. I want to love my wife. I want to honor my wife. And besides, I want to honor you. And I don't know how to deal with this. I mean, I keep bringing it to you, but it keeps coming back. And then I would go to the church, and I went to a couple older guys, and I said, you know, I'm really struggling with this. You know what they said to me? You can look at the menu, but you just don't order. I'm like, what? You can look, but you can't touch. You can fantasize, but don't act on it. And I remember hearing that, and it's like my heart just sunk. It's like all of a sudden I felt these chains all of a sudden just get heavier. And I said, but Jesus, you said that if I look at a woman with lust in my heart, I'm committing adultery. Jesus, that's the truth. That's an issue of the heart. I brought it to him. And I brought it to him, but I kept doing this. I got it. Got it covered. I can do it. I'm going to make sure that I'm never around that. And if I see that sign, I'm going to look right here at my steering wheel. And when there's people, that course talk that they do, I am not going to participate in it. I got it. This kept ruling. And finally one day I said, God, I want to have that lust into my wife. No other woman. And I had a dream. I was building a wall. And it was a brick by brick wall. And I kept building it and building it and building it. And then off in the distance, all of a sudden, you could see snakes coming. I learned later in my dream that the snakes were demons. They were coming to attack. Behind me stood God and Jesus. I saw those snakes that come and I build it faster and build it faster, build it as fast as I could. And all of a sudden they'd hit one of those bricks and they'd push it out and I'd run over quick before they could break through. And then I'm trying to build the wall higher and higher. They just keep on coming and keep on coming. And eventually I get so tired and so worn out that all of a sudden they just flood over the wall and I'm bitten. And then in that moment I turn and I said, Jesus, help me. You know what happened in that moment that I asked? The demons are completely gone. I got up the next morning and said, God, I ask this. That you take the lust that this world keeps throwing at me and put it into my wife. Poor her, he did it. Because she is the only thing that I see. She is the most beautiful thing that I've ever witnessed in my life. And everything pales in comparison. It wasn't me. It was my chains being broken because I asked. I said, please, God. And he is faithful. He will do that for you. He will do it, but we have to say that we want it. But most of us, we're in denial, aren't we? We say we don't need help. Men, you get lost. You're sure not going to go get a map, right? And ask for directions? Ladies, you want your husband to do something? You give him all these subtle cues, he can't get it. Ask for the attention. Ask for a kiss if you want a kiss. You'll get it. We're not good at asking. We just deny. And denial is really something, it's a wall that keeps us from freedom. But in the process, when we're denying, all of a sudden pain comes in because we're trying to carry the load too much. And pain comes in our lives, doesn't it? Pain is an equalizer. Keith Miller said it this way, pain. It was the acid of my pain that ate through the wall of my denial. See, God uses pain to set us free. To get to the point sometimes where we'll say, I need help. C.S. Lewis says this, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. You know, maybe you've been trying to hold on to things for too long. You've been bringing it to Christ and you keep doing what everybody does. We bring it to Christ, then we take it back. We bring it, then we take it back. We bring it, then we take it back. And we just keep doing this back and forth and back and forth. And then all of a sudden, no, wait, I want to put it back up there because I don't want it. Oh, no, wait, I'll take that back and put it back up again. Maybe that's been your life. You're not walking in freedom. Because you haven't asked for the chains to be broken. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will be filled, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What is a yoke? When you and I think of a yoke, we think of an oxen yoke most of the time, don't we? What's that yoke do? That yoke weighs the oxen down. That yoke is something that pulls the oxen back and the machinery that he's trying to pull, and it makes his life very difficult. Well, in their culture, they're not talking about that kind of yoke. You see, there are other teachers, there are other rabbis, and Jesus was a rabbi. They were going around and they were teaching. And when somebody believed in that teaching, they said, I will take that yoke of that teaching, I'm going to live that, and I'm going to apply that to my life. That's how I'm going to live. Well, there were rabbis that would get the Ten Commandments and they would add all these rules and they would make it tougher and tougher and tougher for people to even get into the presence of God. They didn't even know how they could go to the temple and worship him because after all, they just were rotten, filthy people who could never please God and couldn't measure up. Then there are other teachers, just like Jesus. Jesus came along and said, take my yoke. Take my teachings. Abide in them. Live in them, and you'll find rest. Are Christ's teachings any less than any other rabbis at the time? No. Does Christ lower the standard? By no means. He increases the standard. But he says, my teachings are truth, and my teachings set you free if you abide and you live in them. You see, there's no other person that has done this in the world, dying for our sins. And after he died and he rose, he ascended. And when he ascended, he sent something. The Holy Spirit. Maybe you didn't know this, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accept the work of the cross, you have the Holy Spirit in you to help you abide in the teachings. It's not you doing it. Jesus goes, I know you can't do it. I know you can't break free, but I'm going to give you my Spirit. You know, in church, I know a lot of churches, they talk about God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit, and they just kind of mumble through it. Can I just tell you that the Holy Spirit is not Casper, the friendly ghost? He is the full deity of God. He has all the power and authority of God Almighty, and it is in you to live a life in freedom. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And then verse 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." And this counselor has a name, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, there is a truth, and he has a name, and he lives in you. It's the Spirit of the living God. When you cannot face this anymore, you need to start turning and relying on that Spirit. You need to start tuning in to the Spirit that's living in you and tuning out of this world. When the voice of condemnation comes in and says, you have a problem, God doesn't love you, there is no way you're ever going to make it to him because you're never going to get free from any of these things. You go, liar. The Spirit of Truth is in me. And the Spirit of Truth says this, that the Son has set me free. And I am free indeed. Jesus says, in the last part of 11:29, he said, take my yoke. Come to me. Take my teachings. Apply them to your life. Have a deep desire for it. He says, take my yoke. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This Greek word, rest, is just an amazing word. It's anapano. It has so many meanings. It's so full. There's a meaning that means that you're like on a long journey. You're taking a journey through a mountainous region, maybe that was all uphill, and it's took all of your energy, it's took all of your weight, it's taken every fiber in you, and you have a weight on your back, and you're carrying your supplies, and you are just whooped. And Jesus says, I give you rest. A lot of you have been walking your life that way. You've been on a journey and it's been difficult. You've lost loved ones. Maybe somebody's abused you. Somebody never loved you like you should have been loved. You've had a lot of weight. Jesus, come. Let me give you rest for your soul. Let me break the chain. Let me set you free. Another meaning for this anapano is the image that we've kind of been putting out this morning. It's the image of that we're bound with chains. And we're so bound that we have no freedom. We have no hope. And I can't move. I'm almost smothered with the weight of it. And Jesus broke them. He set them free. Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe drugs have been just ridiculing you. Maybe you have a lust issue. Maybe you have an anger issue and you've just been walking with it. Jesus says, come on, come to me. Let me give you rest for your soul. And there's another meaning that it talks about is it's like the word pitcher is more of like you come to a door that you can't open. You know, in Michigan you have how the doors swell and all of a sudden you come to it and it sticks and you're like trying to get it open and you're shaking on it. You're putting a shoulder into it. You're kicking it and it just keeps bouncing back at you. But then all of a sudden, you get that one last thing and it bursts forth and it opens up. That's the image that Christ says, I want to give you rest. You've been beating your head. You've been doing these things over and over and over. You've been trying to get to the freedom. Well, you'll let me just burst forth, but you got to come to me. I can give you this kind of rest for your soul. And the last meaning in the Greek that kind of is very powerful. It's like you have a pile of debt that is stacked up against you that is so high there is no way that you are ever going to repay it. And it's like somebody just sent you an envelope full of money that covers every one of those debts. Jesus says, come to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it, but come to me and I'll give you rest. I just want to close with these two verses. It says in Colossians, it says, when you were dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, means when we were sinners, when we were bound to the chains, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemning us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. I mean, just get that image. Lying, abuse, anger, lust, just nailed there. And it's been done away with. You've been set free. And in Colossians it says, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, meaning Jesus. Jesus fully God. And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were his enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. It's like Jesus came into this world and got a giant bolt cutter and started saying, you want to be free? That lust? Come to me. Gone. That shame and guilt that you've been walking with? Bring it to me. Gone. Is that abuse? That somebody's just, they mistreated you, they did something to you, they took something from you that was horrible and evil? You want healing? Come to me. I'll take it. Whatever is just really eating at you, whatever is weighing you down, maybe you're feeling unloved and you feel unworthy, bring it to me. He says, greed, pride, bring it, I can cut it. So just keep bringing it, because I just got the giant bolt cutters, and it might be tough sometimes, but I freed you. And Jesus said, you're free by the Son of God. And if you've been freed by the Son of God, you are free indeed. But he says you got to leave the chains. You got to leave it at the cross. For some of you this morning, maybe you don't believe in Jesus Christ. To get the freedom that Christ offers, you have to come to him. You have to give your life to him. You have to accept that you are a sinner. You have to accept his work. And you have to let it saturate your life and change you. And you'll be free. Those of you that are believers, it's time that we step out of the darkness and into the light. It's time that we show the world what kind of God we have that is so powerful that he breaks every single chain. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. You need to come to the cross again because you've been so far away you can't even see the cross. Would you make today the day that you would just say, God, I'm back. God, forgive me for straying. If you haven't accepted, I just want to say a simple prayer. And if you say that prayer, God's going to do incredible things in you. So will you just bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, if this is somebody who hasn't believed before, or you're so far away, you're just rededicating your life, just say this after me. Heavenly Father, I just ask, Lord, that you'd come into my life. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have sinned and I'm far away from you. I confess. I confess what I've done. And I'm asking you to come into my life and set me free. I'm asking you to abide in me and reveal your truth. I believe that you died on a cross. I believe that you were placed in a tomb. And I believe that you rose from the grave and you are alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. I give you my life. Amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.